All right. Hey, welcome back. This is Selwyn Robbins, your host for the Mandated Podcast Show. How's everybody doing? Hey, guys, man, it's always a pleasure to hear from you again, speak to you as always. Definitely have been enjoying these days already. We're into the second month, almost halfway into February, which is crazy. But, you know, so much has been going on the onset of this year that is definitely making time go by. But hey, before I get into anything, I want to ask, you know, of course, how you guys are doing, but what are you looking to do? For me, this week has been a little bit slow, busy at work, but just slow mentally and physically, just trying to get things done. But I am up. I am doing what I need to do. And one of those things is creating this show for you guys. I pray that it has been a blessing to those that have been listening. And I want to say thank you for those listeners that have already chimed in and listened into the previous shows, whatnot. And I thank you so much just for taking that time to listen. Hopefully you have received something that can be a fruit or seed for you at some point in time, if not immediately, somewhere down the road. You know, my heart here is to always be able to speak a word of knowledge, any wisdom, anything that can help you be better. And it's not that you're bad, you know, just from where you are, what is it that you can do to go to the next level? What is it that you can understand better than you did before? You know, I'm always looking to improve myself in smaller areas. That way, the larger things won't be just as hard, right? You know, you can't get to the top unless you start using those stairs one step at a time. I remember a coworker, he had told me when I first got on the job, he asked Selwyn, do you know how you eat a camel? And that was very strange to me. Never heard it posed before, but I said, no, how do you eat a camel? And he said, one bite at a time. Very simple, and it works. So I just want to tell you that, you know, whatever you're trying to do, don't try to take a big chunk or the whole thing at one time. Take one bite at a time, one step at a time, and you'll accomplish more than you think you can. Hey, guys, you know, man, this is the second month of the year. And I said, you know, there's a lot that's been going on, you know, especially here in the United States. We recently dealt with the January 6th. Not riot, but insertion, I would say, for lack of a better word, at the U.S. Capitol. And right now, former President Trump is on trial, his second impeachment, on how he played a role, a vital role, as many may say, on creating the fervor for men and women to overthrow the Capitol. Of course, there's a lot going on just inside of that alone. But, you know, those that are in positions, you know, within the House and the Senate are looking for answers. They're looking for accountability. I have to say they have moved pretty swiftly in trying to apprehend those individuals that were identified through some form of social media that participated in that. You know, lives were lost, which is very unfortunate. So just with any type of uprising, you know, people have to be held accountable. So that's what we're doing right now. Not me, of course, but just the United States Senate and House of Representatives, all individuals involved with that. You know, it's a sad thing. It is a sad thing, and it has happened. But we have to continue moving forward in spite of those things. President Joe Biden is doing what he can as president now to, you know, get things to a new normal. We have seen a few things, you know, on what he's planning to do and not do. Nobody knows, you know, if he's going to be a good president or a bad president. But, you know, he is the president of the United States for these 4 years. So, you know, we're just going to wait and see, you know. That just is what it boils down to. We'll have to wait and see on what happens. So with that, another thing that's been going on, which has, you know, been very vital, very important, that is, here in the United States, is the vaccination due to COVID-19. Right now, what we do have, and I want to be as correct as I can on this as far as the vaccinations that are available. We know Pfizer, I want to say, is the first one that was available. Right after that was Moderna's. And another, I'm looking here on the CDC website, and I've heard of AstraZeneca, Janssen's, and Novavax as well. There is another site that is called raps.org, raps.org, and they have a list of vaccinations as well that are available on an international level. In addition to the ones I just mentioned, you have CoronaVac over in China. You also have Sputnik V in Russia, also Covaxin in India, and VacCorona in Russia as well. Now, I have to say, I haven't necessarily vetted all this information. I'm kind of loosely taking it as true, but please follow it for yourself and see what's available. For those that are taking a vaccine or wanting to take it, please check with your local government, your local city, and see where that your city is hosting the vaccinations. I know for myself, I'm living in the city of Hearst, and actually right around the corner at the local college and the more so the Civic Center, they're hosting the vaccinations there. In downtown Dallas, I believe it's at the Cape Bailey Hutchinson Center, but those are the only two that I know because it's basically on my route to work. But nonetheless, guys, please stay up to date with what's happening with the vaccinations, whether you're taking it or not. Please know the availability for yourself and know what's going on in the world. You may or may not be a part of it, but nonetheless, information is very necessary right now because people do have their different thoughts and opinions about the vaccinations. You know, there was a lot of uproar about it last year or whatnot, but now we are into a new year. Vaccinations are available. So please move forward with your information and make a sound decision, you know, for yourself and your family, by all means, because we want to make sure that we are healthy in what we believe. So whatever that may be, I pray and hope everything goes well. Simple as that. So, all right, guys, when we come back, I'm going to talk about a subject that we've been dealing with since last year, but not just last year, many, many, many years. But I'm going to tell it from the perspective of my upbringing. So, when we come back, we'll get into it. All right, guys, give me a... All right, so welcome back, guys. As I said, we're going to talk about a subject that has been going on for many years. We all know about it, but we don't like to talk about it. And that's called race, that four-letter word, right? I know. It is a hard thing to even hear the words, especially in this day and age. You know, for this generation, let me say that, for this generation, because every generation, no matter the race or culture, you've had to deal with it. You've heard about it. It's been around. It doesn't go away. But how do we navigate in the time that we're dealing with? So the way I want to approach this, you know, I just want to speak about my experience up to this day. And I'm not going to go into so many details, but, you know, it is very interesting for me where we are. And I want to say interesting for everybody, I'm sure, on where we are today in light of so many lives that have been lost over countless years. You know, you could go all the way back to slavery. You could go back to Jim Crow, you could go back to yesterday, literally, and look at how people have had to deal with the situation of race, diversity and inclusion, or diversity and equity and inclusion. And that topic there, equity and inclusion, actually is a little bit broader than we really mention it to be. Normally, when that's talked about, the first thing you think of is race, but it's way more broader than that. So I'm not going to go into that subject. But in respect to race, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I'm from Port of Spain, Trinidad. So the faces that I saw until I left, I was probably six when I left. Everybody looked like me. So I didn't have to even think about what it's like to communicate what it's like to be around somebody outside of my own culture, outside of my own belief, outside of the way I live daily. You know, normally you would think the person that looks like you, everybody's living the same way. You could say that in a broad sense, but when you come to the micro level, no, we don't all live the same way. nor do we all have the same beliefs, but you know, it's just a default to say for any culture. So coming from Trinidad at the age around 5 or 6, went to, I want to say it was Bronx, New York, or Brooklyn. I cannot remember. But even then, you know, everybody looked like me, but they didn't sound like me because I'm from Trinidad. I had an accent. And, you know, as I speak about it now, I don't remember even knowing that I had an accent because, you know, I'm a kid. You know, you're not thinking about how you actually sound to other people. You're just going about life happy, go free, no issues, no bills. Woohoo, boy. You remember those days when you didn't have to deal with bills. And you just went about life carefree. You didn't have to, you know, worry about anything. There was no burden on your shoulders as a kid. You know, it was going to school, doing your homework, having recess time, eating lunch, coming home. And pretty much the same thing, you know, and that was just the routine. And I remember, you know, when we came to the United States, we were living with our grandparents. It was me and my brothers and my mom staying with our grandparents in a 3-story house, if I'm correct. And it was a cool house to me because we lived, I think me and my brother stayed in the basement. Or the attic, I cannot remember. But nonetheless, you know, it was cool. And that was the first time I ever experienced snow in New York, man. And to me, that was very cool. You know, I didn't know about snow angels at the time, but I know about making snowmen and having snowball fights. And it was very fun, you know, experienced the first block party. And I have to say, I've never had another block party since then. And to me, that was so awesome because, you know, it was shutting down the block from one end to the next. And it was a big old party, man. Everybody just having fun, whatever games they had out there. And it was awesome. And, you know, this was the time where I want to say rap was starting to come onto the scene. My uncle Carl, he was a DJ at the time, and I really didn't know what a DJ was. I know he was going to parties and taking all these records, but that's what he was doing. And, you know, years to follow, my older brother Sheldon picked up where he left off, and he kind of parlayed that into a career in many different facets. And, you know, though we only stayed in New York for about a year, year and a half, I believe, you know, to me, it was pretty cool. You know, it was new. It wasn't tropical, you know, because Trinidad and Tobago is very tropical. And when you come to New York, it is not. but it was cool. It was cool. And, you know, coming from there, we migrated down to Baytown, Texas, outside of Houston. And this is where I first really encountered someone that did not look like me. And that time of living those years is what formed my way of thinking. And I'm sure for everybody else just as well, there's a certain time in your life, more so when you're young, that tends to mold how you're going to think, how you're going to speak, who you're going to hang around, even jobs that you're going to have, you know, in the future. That's what they call the impressionable years. And I remember going into elementary school, which was Ashbel Smith Elementary School, which wasn't too far from where we lived. We walked from Pierce Street all the way down to Ashbel Smith. And for me as a little kid, maybe 8 years old, 9, walking to school, man, it seemed like it was forever. But the times that I went back to Baytown and made that same trek in a car, man, it is nowhere close to what I was thinking. But, you know, to a kid, everything seems long. Everything seems large. But when I went to Ashbel Smith, I remember going into class, and it may have actually been a science class with Mr. Hall. And Mr. Hall, oh man, I thought that teacher was mean. He was always seemed like yelling. And I'm like, why you gotta yell? To this day, I can't stand it when people yell, hence the formative years. But I remember being a very scary kid. It was new for me. I didn't know what to expect. So I went into the classroom and, Mr. Hall told me to find a seat, and I did. And this is the thing that what I'm about to tell you is what really began molding me with my experiences with different cultures. So as I found my seat, a little young girl came up to me and handed me a pencil. And I can't remember if it was a regular number two pencil or one of those big fat pencils. If you had never had a fat pencil, you need to look it up. It's pretty cool. And it is literally fat, probably too big for our fingers at that age. But nonetheless, she came up and gave me a pencil. And this was a little white girl. So that is probably my first interaction with somebody that was outside of the black culture. And the experience was pleasant because it was somebody that gave me something that I needed at that time. So that from that point on, and other experiences is what brought me to where I am today. The neighborhood that our parents moved us into, we were living in an apartment when we first came down, if I'm correct, and playing as kids or whatnot. And I really don't remember who I played with. I don't know if the other families that lived in the apartment complex were of different cultures or races. I really don't remember. But I do remember that one experience in science class. And the neighborhood that we lived in right there on Pierce Street, we had never moved outside of the apartment, but this house here, it was multicultural. One of my best friends was my neighbor, Hispanic guy. He had two other brothers, just like I did. His name was Miguel, or is Miguel Mosqueda. His brother was Rudy, and I believe Rudy was his younger brother. His older brother was Pelon. And, it was kind of cool to me because, I had a best friend that was my age that lived across from me. My younger brother was friends with his younger brother. My older brother was friends with his older brother. And I want to say we all went to the same school in our respective age groups. But that was my best friend. And I remember Mr. Mosqueda, he was, and the wife, I cannot remember her name. They were very helpful to us in our time of need. I remember, we had our lights cut off. We've had our water cut off. I can't remember if we had gas, but many families in that time had faced those situations. It was a single parent household for us, at that time. And, when you're going through any kind of tough period, you want to know that you have somebody to count on. And I do remember the Mosqueda family, helping us with water. Let us come over there and get buckets of water so that we could cook and we could bathe, till we could get things straight. Another one of my best friends, his name was Sandy Granderson. Sandy Granderson and oh my God, Will. I believe his name is Will. Sandy was from Jamaica. Will was from the United States, both black. My best friends. Another one of my best friends was Sean Rayford. Sean was a cool, crazy white dude. So crazy that, when we had bikes, we took our bikes, rode it up to Horace Mann Junior High at the time, and we found a way to get the bikes on top of the school and began riding it around the edges of the building. And, that was scary, but it was cool and it was wild. That was probably one of the wildest things I had done at that age because, it was breaking rules and it was kind of what you would say living on the wild side. But those were my experiences. And, you know, through all this time, breakdancing became very big. You know, my brother, Sheldon was, you know, on the street with a cardboard box, you know, learning with his friends how to break dance. And, you know, of course, that was Balon, the older brother. And who else? I can't remember. It was another Spanish guy. He lived down the street on Pierce, you know, from us. And we all end up getting together, you know, in front of our house on the street with a cardboard box and a big old jam box that we put on the concrete, later to find out that you can't do that because they'll drain the batteries. But we all got together as friends, not as Black, Hispanic, white, whatnot. I'm sure we knew who we were, but we weren't thinking about it like that. But we were able to come together for that one thing, and that was learning how to break dance, you know, to see Turbo and Ozone in Breaking, the movie. I think the second was Electric Boogaloo, the follow-up to Breaking, you know. But nonetheless, this was a time where we would come together. We had something to do. We were playing football together. We'd go play basketball together. This is people not looking at skin tone. But here we are today, in a climate where it seems like we have to look at it, because it makes us think about what kind of conversations we're going to have. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't face the riots. We weren't facing issues with law enforcement, or law enforcement wasn't having to deal with us that I could remember, at least in our neighborhood. I'm not saying things were the best. It actually wasn't the worst. I mean, we could actually walk home or walk to school with no fear of being kidnapped or being shot. Nothing like that. We weren't afraid of the police. I'm not saying there weren't bad police officers, but we didn't have those issues. I can't even really remember Baytown police riding around, you know, patrolling the neighborhood. Not that they didn't, but it wasn't that kind of climate back then compared to where we are now. You know, times have changed to where law enforcement has had to patrol because of crime for whatever reason, which is great. You need your law enforcement in your neighborhood. Having that communication, that connection with those that they're protecting, they've signed up to protect and serve. But that's my experience. So coming into today's time and age, you know, I like to communicate with any and everybody because of the time that I grew up. So it's kind of hard for me to, at times, fathom, you know, the season that we're in, that you can't have these conversations with certain people because it's going to prick our emotions. And none of us want our emotions pricked. We don't want to be set off because, you know, people may say something, they may rub us the wrong way. You know, we have to be careful of our conversations at work, even at church, sometimes even in your home. You never know, but that's the safest place, you know, that I know is in my home. You know, my wife and I, we have conversations about race, diversity, inclusion, equity, you know, things of that nature quite often, and it helps us continue to mold who we are, to have those tough conversations, you know, with others. My wife was involved in a equity and inclusion board or team at her job. And, you know, they had to have those conversations, but she looked forward to it because she was wanting to be a part of the solution and still is, but many people don't. So, you know, going all the way back to Baytown in those days of breakdancing, you know, my lens, you know, to use the word my wife loves to use, is lens. It's hard for me to look at other people in disgust for the most part until they say something wrong. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, see, I can't be around you because you're about to go left. And I'm sure you know what I mean. But there are people that want the harmony. They want the unity. It's tough. They know it's going to be a tough road to walk or a hill to climb up, but they're looking to do that. And in the time that we're in now, there's so many people that want to do that. You know, this Black Lives movement, and I say movement, not organization, movement that has been around for so many years is still strong, is still vital. we're still looking for equality. We're not looking to be better than anybody else. We're looking to have the same opportunities as anyone. That's all we want, really. That's it. And in order to do so, we, in my opinion, have had to fight more than others. And that's just my opinion. But nonetheless, we continue to strive. We continue to do the things that we need to become entrepreneurs, businessmen and businesswomen. We continue to strive for those opportunities that we can be elevated to the next role, the next position, to make our mark, to share our history. And that's what I'm doing here, sharing a little bit of my history to where I am today. Because it is so vital that I remember that for where I want to be going forward. And it's the same for anybody, no matter the race or culture. You're looking for your history, looking at your history for where you are now to where you're going to go. There may be some things that you do need to change. There may be some viewpoints that I need to change just as well. And I'm open to that. And that is the thing I believe is vital when you're having those conversations, is being open. Whether your mind is going to change or not, are you susceptible enough to let somebody speak their mind without us ending in violence? And so much of that has happened. You know, let's just go back to the time of, you know, last year in this political race. People were very vocal about what they believe, who they believe, you know, the things that are going on. So much so that they had to, one group believed that they needed to overthrow the government. And you know, I have to say this, you know, for the most part, that was white people. We weren't trying to do anything like that. You know, the presidency, or excuse me, the election was done and we're done. That's it. But when you have a belief, and I don't care what your skin tone is, when you have a belief, whether true or false, you try to go with it for the betterment of that group, that organization, your people or culture, because you truly feel that was the right thing to do. You know, maybe in hindsight, you'll look and say, that probably wasn't even right. But nonetheless, you truly have a belief that you stand up for. So today, in regards to race, we can't get rid of the word race, because it is in our vocabulary, literally. It is in our psyche, literally. But how do we move forward as races to make this world better? You know, I don't want to live anywhere else outside of the United States, truly. Well, maybe Greece. I like Greece. It's a beautiful place. but I say that because there's so much freedom here. Even there, though we see so much atrocity in different forms, I still believe it's the best place to live. So as my wife and I navigate, you know, these days and months and years ahead of us, you know, we continue to look to grow. You know, we build friendships with people of different cultures. That's just who we are. And I hope that you're trying to do the same thing just as well. So I want to end with this. You know, this world is going to continue revolving no matter what. We have no control over that. The earth is already set on its particular axis, its tilt, which is literally is tilted, and is going to continue turning in its direction. But as we are here each day, how do we walk it? Are we going to walk it to where we're self-absorbed, we're in our own silo, or are we going to come out together? You know, either option, you know, some people feel that's the best place for them, being in a silo or being out in the community. So I just want to charge you with this. How are you going to look tomorrow? In a sense of not as a man in the mirror, how are you going to look upon tomorrow? Are you going to look at it with a different viewpoint, your same viewpoint? Are you looking to change, stay the same, build, grow? Or not. Hey guys, this is Selwyn Robbins, your host of the Mandated Podcast. I hope that you learned a little bit more about me today, and I hope that I was able to just pose a few questions for you to meditate on. Just think about a little bit to see where you are in all the chaos of things that are going on today. All right, guys, I hope that you are blessed, and I look forward to talking to you again. Bye.